So where are we? Prophecy, serving, which is helps the divine enablement to accomplish practical and necessary tasks, which free up support and meet the needs of others. I will say that in the American church, many women will believe that they have serving gifts because it's what we've done in the church. We said that's where women belong. That's not to say they don't have that. But what it does do is say is relegate men who have serving gift as lower class. So I've watched that. I've seen it. So we need to be careful about that. And last, teaching. The enablement to understand, clearly explain, and apply the Word of God, causing greater Christ-likeness in the lives of listeners. All right, so that those are the spiritual gifts. Is there any of them that need more explanation, that need, or that you have questions about? Cindy.
So have you ever heard of anybody having a gift of discipline?
I would say that would come under exhortation. I've never heard that before, but definitely that would definitely be exhortation. Anybody else?
Would you mind giving me an example of your gift of prophecy and how you...
So the way I teach, notice that my teachings are always about where we aren't and where we need to be. Mm-hmm. That's prophecy. Mm-hmm. Okay. So just plain teaching would just be enlightening you. So obviously I have that as well, right? I'm going to enlighten you about what's happening in the scripture, but I'm always going to come at you with a warning. I'm always going to say we are not here and we need to be.
Can I share another one though?
Yes.
Personally, I think Jill is, I mean, I could say quick, but she's bold enough to say if she sees something in you, right? Mm-hmm. And we'll warn you and say, I think that you're going the wrong direction.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Even a couple of weeks ago, you said, I have this whole lesson planned, but my heart has been moved to, you recapped it, and you kind of moved, you even mm-hmm. showed us all the notes and everything you had done, and I feel like that is prophecy. Mm-hmm.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah.
So.
Thank you.
For the gift of prophecy, one of the things that happens, and I can just tell you this from personal experience, is you also know that you won't be well received.
Oh, I would think
not. Right. And there's always difficulties in all the spiritual gifts, but that's one of those difficulties you have to wrestle with is realizing, okay, you need to understand that. And so that particularly when you are exercising your gift one-on-one, you may be rejected.
But isn't that like Nathan going to David?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Because well, that's what happens
you're facing people with things they don't want to hear.
All the prophets.
Yes.
That's all the prophets.
All the prophets.
All the
right.
prophets.
Yeah. Lori.
It also gives hope because in the interim of the church not being where it needs to be.
Yes.
So there, then God provides a yes. means to practice your gifts.
Yes.
And so
absolutely.
You might feel like it's painful to be trying to operate in the church and to bring people into community in the church.
Mm-hmm.
But if you lean on him and trust that he hasn't abandoned you, that he exists outside
yes.
also.
Yes.
So this is an example of that, right?
Yes.
He gave you the wherewithal to create this setting.
Yes.
And gave you, enabled you with a community within your life.
Yes.
Of people practicing your gifts.
Yes.
For you to practice your gift.
And that's exactly what the whole thing is, right? As we each practice our gifts, we give people space to practice mm-hmm. theirs. So that's very helpful as each of us go through those. So spiritual gifts, very important that we practice those. What I have for you in your booklet is at the beginning of the spiritual gifts page, I have your own spiritual gift page. I want you to, not now, but this is what I want you to do this week with that. I want you to write down your own spiritual gift or gifts, or at least ones that maybe you think, oh, maybe I have these. And so, by the way, yes, we can have more than one. And if we are actually exercising our spiritual gifts, Paul tells us we can actually ask for more. So it isn't just like, well, this is all I have, prophecy, and that's what I can do. But personally, when Paul says, you can go ask for more, I'm like, no, thank you. I have enough.
Well, and in certain situations,
questions, it may be called on you.
Yes.
To use that you
correct.
Did not
that
have.
I did not have. Yes.
And the Lord's like,
yes.
And I think some of the spiritual gifts complement each other.
Correct. Yeah. Yeah. And some of their right.
This one, then this one kind of comes a little more naturally.
To absolutely right. So prophecy and teaching together, right? They're, mm-hmm. Those are definitely going to come together.
Sometimes they come when you need them too.
And I can
remember several times in my life where
yes,
something happened and I just suddenly knew something.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. They come actually when the body needs them. So there's been lots of study and conjecture about the fact that because we're separated into different congregations, does God give everybody all of the gifts? So there are some people who say that everybody has all of the gifts. So the church on the corner down there and the church down the street down there, they each have all the spiritual gifts. I'm not sure that's true because I don't think it's how God wants us to be. So I actually think that perhaps is not true. Actually, I know it's not true because I know that church down there does not have the gift of tongues and that church down there does not have the gift of healing. So I think we need everybody in the body to come together, which is one of the reasons why God called me to do something like this, so that we would be a body composed of lots of different congregations that come together and actually be able to say, oh, we're all still one here.
That may be the administration of that individual church. There's somebody in there that, you know, has some power over what goes on. And
that's true. And so the other things I want you to do is I want you to write a prayer of thanksgiving for the gifts you do have. And if you feel like you want to ask the Holy Spirit for more gifts, then write that. I won't be writing that.
Why not, Jill?
Then write ways I've shared my spiritual gifts in the past and in the present, and then ways I would like to share my gifts in the future, or places I'd like to share my gifts in the future. Spiritual gifts that I need to especially draw or appreciate from others, perhaps. And for many years, people would say, you do have the gift of teaching, you do have the gift of prophecy, but man, you don't have the gift of mercy. You need to develop that. And yeah, as hard as it is to hear things like that, you go, you're right, I do. And so I would seek out people who have that gift. We need to recognize that, or we need to do that. And then what I want you to do on the back page is to write down the spiritual gifts of people that you know in this group and or other people so that if they share it with you or you ask them and they tell you the gift. And the reason for that is, just like what I said, I really need to see mercy modeled for me. I really need to see serving modeled for me. And so if I need to see that modeled for me, then I want to know who has that. So it's an easy way for me to go, oh, those people have that. I'm going to really watch their lives well. I'm going to actually integrate my lives with theirs. So it is important that we know one another's gifts. So we should be writing those down. So hopefully you remember in your group who had what gift. And then you can write that there or ask them later. Any other questions? Now we're getting to our big part. And of course, you know, it's always never enough time. But we're going to get into now the perspectives, which we're going to pull from the Enneagram. So here's one thing I want you to know about the Enneagram. People tend to put it in the category of all of the psychological personality traits tests. Mm-hmm. It does not belong in that. It doesn't do what those do. They talk about the abilities that you have or your personalities. The Enneagram is very different. It does, and if anyone tries to say, oh, that's just like, yeah, the Myers-Briggs. Yeah, I know what I am in the Myers-Briggs. I'm an IJNT. Assure them that is not what the Enneagram is. And there's a big reason that they need to know that the Enneagram has really nothing to do with your psychological traits. First of all, the Enneagram, your perspective on life, how you see life and how you exercise, practice life, doesn't change. All of the personality tests change. Your personality, your traits change according to your situations, your circumstances, your work situations, whatever. The Enneagram is actually the only tool that actually talks about your sin tendencies. So all those personality traits, there's no way somebody would use a personality trait and say, oh, so you aren't very kind. You're mean to people, right? There's no way they're going to use that. The Enneagram will actually show you your sin tendencies. The Enneagram is also meant to only be used in community. It is not meant as a single, as you sitting there going, oh, this is who I am, so now I know. It's actually meant to be used in community and with community. It's meant to be shared. And lastly, the Enneagram actually assumes and desires for you, that's a weird word to use for a test, desires. The Enneagram assumes that you will know your own perspective, but also grow into all of the other perspectives. Okay. So it is a holistic thing. It is meant to show you, this is where you usually stand, but you need to learn how to stand in all of those other places as well. So it's a holistic thing, whereas the personality isn't, none of the personality tests are. They don't say, oh, you're an INTJ, so you need to learn how to be, I forget all the others.
ES.
Yeah, ES. Obviously, I'm not an ENSer. So Enneagram is very different. And it comes from a Christian perspective. Now, I'm going to tell you this because you're going to go out there and you're going to find some Enneagram books and ideas that aren't from a Christian perspective. Yes, of course, we've taken it out of there. But as far as we know, the origination of the Enneagram came from monks. It was used for monks for a while, but it was eventually co-opted by Sufis. Does everybody know what a Sufi is?
No.
Sufis are a sect of Islam. And so Sufis took that and said, wow, this is great, yes. And they loved the idea that it had sin tendencies. And so they used it and became popular with them. Once it became popular with them, churches dropped it, right? The church dropped it. Said, well, we don't want to have anything to do with that. But it did come from a Christian background. That's where it came from. So definitely different than all of the others. What it does, it helps us to see how we are uniquely created to express the glory of God. And this is something you might not hear when you go into an Enneagram class or something. But as well as showing us how we are uniquely created to express the glory of God, it also shows us how we disorder that expression. We reject that expression, and we turn it around to suppress the truth about God, to suppress his glory. So this is why we're doing this in the midst of Romans, because this is exactly what the Enneagram does. It says you actually, as a one, are uniquely created to show the goodness of God. Remember I told you none of us can possibly hold all of God's characteristics and show the world, right? So each of us is given a perspective of what God is like, of his glory, to show the world. That's why it doesn't change. We were uniquely created for that. In our disorder, we took that and flipped it to suppress the truth, and we want to show we're good rather than God is good. So that's where the Enneagram is very different than any of the others. It works by verbalizing the different ways that people can see and practice life, either our true self or our false self. Our true self is the way that we show God's glory, tell the truth about God, how we bear God's image in one unique aspect of God. In our true self, in the self that tells the truth about God, we trust that we are deeply loved by God and thus able and willing to show who God is and not bring attention to ourselves. In our false self, we actually create a different image, a mask that we actually put on in self-defense to help us feel safe, to help us feel loved, to help us feel accepted, apart from the love of God in Christ for our identity. So that's really all I want to, well, the purpose is always to help us recognize the ways that we can grow and mature into our unique expression of God's glory. This is why I think this is so important. And I will say more and more churches are using this now in their spiritual formation classes. I think it's very helpful for us to be able to do that. The Enneagram also makes sure that you know that your growth and maturity in telling the truth about God must happen within relationships. So whenever you talk about the Enneagram, it's got to be within community and about how you relate to other people. Which is why I think in your workbooks, I particularly point you to, if you want to read more on that, this one, The Path Between Us. So she had, the first one is The Road Back to You, right?
Say it looks like the road.
It looks like same author is second one. So this is The Path Between Us. And this really talks about how you use your understanding of your perspective between others. And that's where I think that's where scripture talks about. So
where is this?
It's in your workbooks. It's usually on it. Well, in the very back, I think. In the very back where I have resources.
Like where the vocabulary and stuff is.
Yeah. It should be in there.
Okay, go through that again. Who's the author?
Suzanne Stabile, The Path Between Us. Very easy, very simple to go through. I do have other books and recommendations if you are wanting to go further in that. So before we get too far, I'm going to give you a summary of each of the nine perspectives. I've put as much as I can in your booklet like that so that you have a lot here. What I want you to see, and so how many of you have taken an Enneagram class? Because I know lots of you have. 2, 4, 5, just 5. Okay. 6. When you've done this in class, my guess is the labels I'm using here were not used in your class, right? But I believe that these are the best labels because if the Enneagram shows us how we were created uniquely to show some aspect of God, then our wording should be reflecting that, right? And so when you talk about ones were uniquely created to express the goodness of God. And that's why we call ones the good person. Now, in oftentimes people will call ones perfectionists. The problem I have with all those other labels are that they have connotations in them, right? So, and particularly as one of the first things they'll say about ones are, ones hate the label perfectionist. Well, yeah, so does everybody else.
Right.
So I love these. I think these are a better way to express, yes, God is perfect, but the goodness of God, and remember, goodness, it talks about the order that makes things flourish. So that's what ones are about, that they are expressing God's goodness.
So when you say perfectionist, that's probably the prophecy or the warning of being a number one.
Yes. So obviously.
That's the warning is about perfectionist.
Yeah. Ones are motivated by their need to live their life the right way. Including improving themselves and the world around them. They're attracted to and value goodness. They believe life is about doing their best, setting high standards and goals, and living up to them. A drive for perfection leads them to reform what is broken. I'm not going to read through all of these because that's why I gave it to you, so we didn't have to go through those. But there are ways that we can, as people who come toward ones, that we can encourage things for them. So when it talks about practices to be encouraged, in every one of these, the first two practices are usually pretty natural to that number. So ones, usually, it's pretty natural for them to meditate on God's word, and it's usually natural for them to make things better. The second two are usually things that are more difficult for them, not so natural, but that should be encouraged in them so that they don't go toward disorder in them. But not always. So that's just a generalization. What I want to do is I want to ask those who are ones to raise their hand. Okay, so we have one, two, three. Just three ones? So you think it's...
You're a one.
Yeah. I'm definitely a one, right? So for ones, I want you to go ahead and put a one perspective on the...
Is that
Jill,
Lisa,
Kim, and
Wes?
Connie. Right, is that it?
Here, Connie.
So go ahead and hang those on the tree.
Yeah, all of us need our, like, glasses.
Yeah, but you have two that are the exact same number.
You can do both. Be careful of these staples. These, I use
the sharp.
Yes. So Lisa, what I would like you to do is, in your workbook, mm-hmm. I would like you to read the part where it says tending ones. And this is most, I think, helpful to people who don't have a one perspective to hear what a one really needs from you. So you go ahead and read those ones.
Okay. Encourage downtime, vacations, and time away from responsibilities. Ones appreciate equity. They work hard and they expect the same from you. Express appreciation for all of their effort, particularly through cards, notes, accolades, and small gifts. Honor their need for order if you share or use their spaces. Be careful and gentle when you point out their mistakes. It can be overwhelming for the one if you come on too strong.
So that's helpful, right?
Yeah.
To know somebody about ones and to know, oh, some of these things, these are really important to them. Mm-hmm. And when that doesn't happen for ones, it's very discouraging for them. And it makes them feel not valued. So, and remember, all of us think that everyone either does or should think like us.
Yeah.
Right? We all do. So ones think everything should be ordered. Everyone should be on time. So when you're not on time, you think, as a one, how rude. Because as a one, if you're not orderly, you aren't living rightly. So keep those in mind for ones. Those are things that should help you. Anybody have questions or comments about ones?
Just because we talked about your spiritual gift, it's interesting that people would not assume this from you, that we would have to be gentle when we said something to you because you have prophecy. So what they're hearing from you would be different than how you want to be treated.
Yes. Yes.
That just clicked with me.
Yeah, and that's
not just you, it's
no, it's everybody. And it's also why I shy away a little bit about love languages, because we tend to think people's love language is not only what they give but what they want, mm-hmm. and
no,
that doesn't
not.
Work,
no,
right? Totally. So yes, ones is very difficult to hear criticism, mm-hmm. and this is why. You have worked so hard to get to the place where you're giving, and then for someone to criticize, and I will tell you, I'm just honest, here's my underbelly. When I've worked all week, 8 hours a day, to bring you teaching, and someone disputes that, my first reaction inside is to say, you thought about that for 2 minutes right now, and you're going to challenge me? Now, that's my problem. That's not their problem. That's my problem. But it is the idea, a one works hard for what they do and what they give out, they have spent a lot of time at. And so for someone to criticize them says, all that time you spent, doesn't matter. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So understanding a one, what a one does, also understands how you treat a one.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely.
As much as you think you know your family, you don't know your family.
You do not know your family. Yes. Yes. Yes, Lori.
I think a lot of times people assume that ones are so incredibly gifted and energized that they're not working very hard, that they just pull
it just comes off. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I realize all the work it goes on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because
true.
The consistency of it,
true.
The consistency of it is kind of like, oh, well.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Easy.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that's true.
That's actually a good perspective.
Yeah.
I've never thought about it that way.
Yeah. Yeah, because ones are like, are you crazy? Do you have any idea?
Yeah. But the appearance of it's so different.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Yes.
Talk about equity. I heard something yesterday at work and made me just giggle. It says we don't use the F word at our work. Fair.
Mm-hmm. We don't use fair. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
I was walking by, I'm like, what?
So for a one, equity means you put in just as much work as they do. Which is why it's hard for me when someone says, you know, I had the chance to go, like, play tennis today instead of come to class. That's really hard for a one to hear. A one who spent all their time for you. Mm. That's hard. But again, remember that you don't just do everything for a one that they want you to do. You just recognize that's the perspective they're coming from. And you want to encourage them to give God the glory and not themselves, right? So I don't want you to say, oh, Jill, you're so wonderful, you're so wonderful. Although I do need it. I want you to say, boy, God has been using you to teach me things. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Okay, let's go to twos.
Let's do
it.
So I've got like a five-way tie.
Yep.
Yeah.
Do I read the description and decide what I mean?
So same thing with the spiritual gift. The testing is the least way you can figure out. The best way is to hear other ones, what is important to them, and read more and more descriptions, and be with people to help you understand that more. Testing is just a very fallible way to come on that. If you're really strong in one number, it won't be hard for you to know without taking a test.
But to add to that, reading these trending or tending to ones, a guy almost could have cried. Like, it's that.
Yes, it is that, yes.
Deep and that moving, which is sounds kind of silly, but like,
that
I
is exactly.
Like someone gets you, right?
Yes. Yeah. Like, oh, yeah, because you're like, yes, please know that about me. These are things you want people to know.
Yeah. One of the things that has helped me too is like reading the sin tendencies, mm-hmm. like reading the kind of like negative things. Like reading the positive things, like, oh yeah, I could see those in things, but it's when I read the like negative things about my motivations, I'm like, oh yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Yeah. I'm uncomfortable, that's me.
Yes.
Like a visceral response.
Yes. Yes, exactly. So, yeah, as you notice, one's sin tendencies are anger, but for ones, they're not going to show you their anger. Mm-hmm. It's going to be suppressed.
Oh, oh, maybe.
So it comes out sideways, right?
It will come out sideways, and it'll come out where you have no idea.
Yes.
So that does help, yes, definitely. All right, twos. Twos are called the loving person, so they are uniquely created to express God's love. They are going to value loving and serving others. So who are our twos here? Yeah, I knew I'd have a lot, right? Okay, so come and get a two. So the twos are...
Now,
do you understand my perspective? I was trying to get out of the way. Are you trying to...
Right.
No.
That literally is what it was.
I know
there's going to be a lot.
So twos, here's twos. Here's some twos. So twos are silver. Go ahead and hang that on there. You know, since these are so hard to get on, sorry, I didn't think about that.
Yeah.
Here's what we can do. You can just put it down here, and I can hang those on later, or you can go back and hang them at the end. I know. Elizabeth, would you read the twos, tending twos? So listen carefully what twos need from you.
Be demonstrative with affection so as to reassure them. Keep in mind that twos process verbally. They don't think things through. They talk their way through them. Be aware that anger or disproportionate emotional responses are usually signals of unmet needs. Be aware of that. Oh, that's a repeat.
Oh, sorry.
Okay. Twos want honest feedback, but they take everything personally. They know this, and they want to outgrow this, so take it slow.
Let me find one other one, because there's lots. Yeah. I'm just choosing.
I was like, you're really emphasizing that one.
I know.
Just
for a reason.
Which one?
You did. Oh, yeah, right.
Very true.
I was like, it's really true.
It's very true.
Let me get another twos thing here. Don't trust their answer when they say they're fine or good. Press a little deeper. Is that true? Two?
Yeah.
Twos? Yeah. So it's very difficult for you to assume what you think you know about twos, about any of the numbers. Anybody have any questions about twos or comments about twos?
Who are the twos? Right here.
Raise your hand if you're a two. Oh, there.
No, I mean the people.
They're right.
That's what
Elizabeth,
she's
saying. Michelle, Alex.
Are both Alex's twos? No,
no,
you're not a two.
No.
So it's interesting, particularly if you've worked with this long enough, you're absolutely sure you know.
Did you know?
Did I know?
Did you?
Did I know twos? I knew some of the twos. So because I know it well enough, I can pretty much pick out what people are. Sometimes they'll surprise me. Laura Jean was a surprise, right?
Most people think
she's a seven. Yeah.
Really?
She's a two. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. See. Everyone thinks she's a seven. Yeah. Yeah. Lord, she's a two. See.
Oh, I thought you said you were a seven.
I got up early.
She did.
Okay.
I got right there. Oh,
okay.
Right.
She got up early to get out of the way.
Yeah.
Right.
So, but just so you know, especially those who already have done this. There are lots more things I could teach you about the Enneagram.
Yeah.
I'm not going to spend the time to do that if you want to know more. Because there are ways that you will lean more toward what's called your wing. I don't see you leaning toward a one or a three, though.
So wings are literally the number. That's what I was going to ask.
Wings are the numbers that are
so
on
like
your
a
sides.
Nine and a one. Okay.
What?
Nine and a one are wings.
Yes.
Oh, so
yeah.
That makes more sense.
What? Wait, Lori?
Two is the growth point of the eight, because I'm an eight, I'm supposed to
move
to a two.
When you're
eight.
Healthy,
so eight,
yeah.
Yeah, so whatever.
Eight,
yeah. Eight, yeah. Eight, that makes way more
things
sense.
Things that integrated early.
Yeah.
So when
okay.
Yeah.
And
so a four-way tie, I have four hands. But they're two and two.
They're next to each other?
Yeah.
So that's not a surprise.
Two and three, loving and effective, and then joyful and powerful.
I know. I'm thinking through how much I know you and wondering.
So, two and three, loving and effective, and then seven, eight, joyful and powerful.
From being in your group when we were doing those activities, I feel like a lot of times maybe the two side was coming up.
Mm-hmm.
But again, that's people sometimes mistype as that, just
right.
Women in leadership or women in ministry.
Right.
But
right.
I would agree that that's where I would see you more. But
yeah. Okay.
You can choose whatever. Let's go on to threes. Threes are called the effective person. Sometimes they're called the achiever. They are motivated by the need to be productive, achieve success, and avoid failure. They reflect God's effectiveness, that he is able to accomplish and achieve his purposes. Who's a three? You're three? You think you're three? Okay. Janet, why don't you read threes for us? Threes tending. Tending threes.
Know that threes want your approval and praise, and they really like it when you verbalize it. Try not to talk too much about negative things. Threes are very optimistic, and they can appreciate others who have a positive outlook. Threes come on strong, but they need you to be softer than they are. Don't assume that threes have easy access to their feelings.
encourage them to identify and discuss their feelings. And once they share a thought or two, give them a break so they don't have to think about it for a while.
No, see, that's not you at all. That's why I don't think you're a three. Does that? Yeah, it kind of does. So it's interesting. When you know people's numbers and you read these, you're like, yeah, yeah, my son-in-law is a three, and this is absolutely, like, on target. This is exactly what it looks like. Threes are not as common. It is more common. Twos are more common in the Western Christian world. Threes are not as common, so not surprising that we only have one here, really. Any questions about threes? All right, let's go to fours. Fours are called the original person. They are created uniquely to show God's uniqueness. They're also called the romantic. They are motivated by the need to experience their feelings and to be understood, to search for the meaning of life and to avoid being ordinary. They like to be unique. They like to be aware of their emotional stances. Fours are very comfortable with being melancholy. So on their unhealthy side, they'll be Eeyore. But they're very comfortable with being in that space. Mm-hmm. Any fours here?
We vote one.
What?
No. One.
Are you four?
No. We thought of one who was in our group who was here today.
Oh, okay.
I sort of am.
You sort of are four?
Yeah, that's my second highest one.
Your second highest one, okay. So, that I mean, now think about it. Not surprised, right? Definitely original, unique, right? That definitely fits, you know, who you are and your love of God's originality and his uniqueness. So, definitely. So, go ahead and put on, if you want to put a four up there, you go ahead and put a four. If you think you're something else more.
I am something else a little more.
Okay.
That's pretty close.
So fours, again, are not as common. I believe,
that's
though,
why they're unique.
What?
That's how they're unique.
It is unique, yeah. Yes. The funny thing is, in my small night class, I think I have two fours,
wow.
Which is...
Wow. Don't tell them that.
No. Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
My daughters were involved in theater, and there were fours in theater.
Of course.
Yeah. I knew the fours, and when they got melancholy, they got melancholy, and when they weren't, they were cheering people, but they were unique in their look, they were unique in their talk,
always.
And they didn't care what anyone thought about it.
Right,
this
exactly.
Is me,
yep. So fours definitely are in the arts, mostly in the arts. Fives. Oh, you know what? Let's read fours. Pat, would you read fours for us?
Sure. Don't tell fours to cheer up. They are usually neither sad nor depressed, but are comfortable with melancholy. But also remember, it is okay for you to be lighthearted. It is very important that you tell fours how their mood changes affect you. Don't take the push-pull dynamic personality. Allow them room to process their feelings. Don't accuse them of being too sensitive or of overreacting. They don't like accusations. Don't be afraid to tell fours when you feel pressure to be more than you can be or to handle more than your part.
Okay. Sorry about that. That happened a couple weeks ago when I said, I cannot memorize.
So I have a lot of fours.
Yeah, you do. Okay, let's go on to fives. Fives are the wise person. They are created uniquely to show God's wisdom. They're also called the observer. So fives are the ones who will be most comfortable outside of the group, observing. Like, so if you're all in a group and there's a five, they'll be the one that might say the least, unless you come upon their area of expertise, and then they will share their knowledge, right? Mm-hmm. They are people who love to study and research. You tell them one thing, and they go down the rabbit hole, and they research it to death. Those are fives,
so
right?
A five.
And fives are almost always introverts. So any fives?
Because they're observers.
Yeah. No fives in here.
I wonder.
Wow. No, it's not five. Definitely not. Uh-uh. I'm trying to think if I know of any fives in this group. I don't. My son is a five, so. Yeah, so that helps, right? So let's read the fives. Who wants to read the fives for me?
I will.
Okay.
Be clear with fives about what you need and want, but don't be demanding or use too many words. Don't push them to socialize with other people. That has to come naturally for them. They don't like being pushed. Never discuss incompetence or inadequacy lightly, as these are central to their fear. Fives have trouble finding their place in what is already happening. You can help by saying something like, "Would you like to sit with us? We have an extra chair." Fives have a strong desire to not depend on others to take care of them. When they are in a position of need, offer it with few words and as little fanfare as possible.
Can they be not introverted and still be this?
It is really rare to have an extroverted five.
Okay.
It's really, really rare. All right, let's go on to sixes. Sixes are called the loyal person. They're also called the questioner. They're motivated by their need for security. They appear either fearful and needing approval or confronting their fears. They're usually loyalists. They are very loyal, very community-oriented. Do we have any sixes here?
Yeah.
Really?
That's me?
Really?
Wow.
That's a surprise.
Oh,
okay.
Thank you.
Take your six.
Will you be singing and journaling for us soon?
Singing and journaling.
Oh, the practice.
Are you a journaler?
Singing and journaling. Yeah, a little bit.
A little bit?
I would say definitely, like, yeah, as far as worship, like,
yeah.
Singing is definitely
okay.
How I feel like.
Okay. So, Alex, read for us, then, how we tend to sixes.
Okay. Be kind and thoughtful when answering all of their questions. They're attempting to discern trustworthiness and need reassurance, both observable and verbal, about your commitment to them. Encourage them to act when they are overthinking. They tend to confuse thinking about something with doing something about it. Sixes need emotional attentiveness and conversation. Worst case scenario planning is comforting to sixes, so take them seriously when they talk to you about what could go wrong. Sixes like friends who are emotionally mature, honest, and not too needy.
Would you agree with most of those?
Yes.
Yes. Yes. Okay. Any questions about sixes? Sevens. Sevens are the joyful person. They are created uniquely to show God's joy. They are also called the adventurer. They are motivated by the need to be happy and play and have enjoyable activities. They contribute to the world and want to avoid suffering and pain. Okay, so without even asking who's a seven, who do you think is a seven in this group?
Annie.
So sevens are very obvious. It's very obvious who are sevens because they are the life of the party, right? They are just like, so I'll tell a little bit of story about Annie, just really short. So Annie at one time rented a condo from one of my good friends. And so she didn't live here, but she said, "Wow, I did not realize that Annie was such a partier. She has parties every weekend there." And I just laughed. I thought that was so funny. Yeah, probably. Definitely very people-oriented and very fun stuff. So, Annie, read how to tend to sevens.
Okay. Invite a seven to teach you about the gift of playing. Encourage them to allow and experience a full range of emotions. Sevens love to be with people, and they really value time alone. It will help if you contribute to making both happen. Sevens need the other person in the relationship to have his or her own energy and interest. Don't depend on them for a constant companionship. Be attentive to their stories. The telling of their stories is often the way they express and share.
Are there any other sevens?
I'm really close.
Cindy
yeah,
and
Jenny. Yeah.
Okay, so all the sevens are in the back.
Yeah.
What's the deal?
They're having fun.
Yeah, having fun back there. Yeah. Any questions for our sevens or comments? One of my favorite memories in our bio study is inviting Annie to teach me about how to play. Mm-hmm. Do you remember this specific?
No.
At one of our retreats?
Oh, yeah.
Where we...
Tubi.
Yeah.
That was so
I'd never tubed. Okay, Annie, show me how to do this. So you have a one who wants to do everything right, and a seven is just like... Which is great, because a one, when she's healthy, goes toward a seven, so... Cindy and Dean and Donna in the back. All right, eight. Yeah, go get, come and get your, Janine, do you, which one do you want to, which one do you think you go toward?
I see a little bit of both.
What's the other one you think you want?
No, go ahead, Janine.
Two.
Love it.
Yeah.
Love
me
too. Yeah.
She's a two.
Yeah.
We're
going to
touch
this
for a second.
We're all over here now. Half our friend living room group was twos from all the answers.
Really?
I was sitting there being like,
what? Yeah, you must have felt like. what is this?
So Angela, you're 1 2 0.
I'm an eight.
Oh, yeah.
As well.
All right, eights. Eights are the powerful person. Well, what a surprise.
Oh, funny.
Oh, that's
funny.
They're also called
the challenger. They are created uniquely to show God's power. They are motivated by the need to be self-reliant and strong and to avoid feeling weak or dependent. So anybody beside Pat that's an eight?
I was not.
Okay.
I was tied.
With a 7 and an 8? Oh, that's because you have a strong wing. Yeah.
So do you, and you're even.
I would say we're in the front room. You definitely took the lead. Like, not in the group, but in your reactions. Like, that was what I saw with the 7
Interesting.
Wing.
Interesting. Okay. Marie, why don't you read the 8s for us then? How to tend to you.
8s. Don't beat around the bush. 8s want communication. To be brief, straightforward, and truthful.
So true.
Acknowledge the contributions that they make, but don't flatter them because they never trust me. I don't like it when people give me compliments. I never have. It's true because it's like, just, you know, get on with it. It's so funny when I read the tent, I went, oh my gosh, this is
so mean.
Even though they are strong and assertive, don't forget that they still need care, but also be aware that eights sometimes mistake tenderness for manipulation.
True.
Keep in mind that eights are often unaware of how they affect others. Intensity is always well received. Be secure and strong in yourself and what you think and believe.
Does that fit you, eights? Okay, come and get your perspective. Eight bead. Eights are here. All right, nines.
The eight.
Nines are called the peaceful person. They are created uniquely to show God's peace. They're also called the peacemakers. They are motivated by the need to keep the peace, to merge with others, and to avoid conflict. They often take on the qualities of all the other eight types. So they have many variations in their personalities, from gentle and mild-mannered to independent and forceful. All the nines I know in my life are gentle and mild-mannered. Gentle and mild-mannered. They're the ones that are just, like, they're just the kindest. My sister is I have a sister who is a nine. Very peaceful. So anybody, any nines here?
Chris, yep.
Chris, not surprised. Mm-hmm. Come and get your thing, your...
There was a time I thought I was a nine because I felt like I could relate with every number. Identity crisis.
So I think I'm a two. I've been reading all of them. Can I put my two up?
Yes, you can put your two up.
We agree.
We
agree.
Yeah.
Consensus is taken.
But Anna, then that could mean you're like strong three wing or one.
You could read more about the triangle.
Yeah.
I think that makes a difference too, right? When you feel like you're strong,
So I don't want to confuse and go through all of that.
Yeah, that's a lot.
So, Chris, I want you to read how we tend you best.
Encourage parents to name their own desires and dreams and preferences given by God. Focus on what they do as opposed to what they forget to do. Encourage them to share their grievances with you. 9, appreciate and need a peaceful environment, time alone, their own space, and independence. Be careful to not take advantage of their generous spirit.
Would you agree?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, all those.
And the other is, like nature walks,
uh-huh,
and peacemaking. It's like, I can't get through a day without walking outside.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh, my God.
Oh, wow.
Me neither.
What I've done today is just give you a taste of beginning to understand where people are coming from, so that you understand how actually to relate to them, and not just relate to them, because I do think it's important that you guys go through this and realize, okay, so their weaknesses are toward this, so you should be encouraging where their strengths are and pulling back and kind of helping them recognize their own sin tendencies and where they go. What I did is I gave you just snippets of how they try to tend to be in life so that they feel like they're not overwhelmed. That's those survival strategies. And where they'll go in their unhealthiest levels. So I gave you their healthiest levels, but then their unhealthiest levels, where people would tend to go in their numbers. And then the lies that they need to let go, and then the truth they need to remember. So I think those are good places to start understanding people's perspectives and coming alongside them. Not just, so lots of people hate being labeled. First of all, it isn't a label. It is to express your appreciation that 8s show God's power, that 7s show God's joys, that 3s show God's effectiveness. Whatever those numbers are, we should be appreciating those people. And I would say some of the numbers are appreciated less than others, right? We certainly gravitate toward people who show God's joy. Oh, fun. That's fun, right? But people who show God's goodness, order, or show God's power, those are a little harder. 1s and 8s are a little bit harder for people to go, oh, I'm so glad that I have a 1 in my life, or I'm so glad I have an 8 in my life. Those are harder. What?
I'm married to an 8.
Yes, I know. So she's a 1 and an 8. So she, yes, a 2.
We're the fun household.
Can we watch?
Actually, we do have dinner party. I mean, so we do invite people over, and so we feed them, so they have to come.
It's so funny. So I hope what this does is begin a conversation with other people. Here's the one thing you shouldn't do. You should never go and tell somebody what they are. First of all, because it's motivation. So you really don't know. I can affirm. So like when Anna isn't sure, is she a 2 or a 3? Most of us will say, yeah, I'll affirm your 2-ness. Definitely you're closer to a 2. But I'm not going to tell Anna she's a 2. She's got to say, I think I might be 2, but I think I might be a 3. And then you can affirm that. To tell people what they are is to say that you know what drives them. Mm-hmm. You don't. They need to tell you that. But once they share that with you, really key in on how they need to be tended and actually try to practice some of those with them. And when you're doing that, share your own ways of needing to be tended, because you're going to need different ways of being of tending, right? And so, I mean, it should be obvious. As 1s, I like to receive words or gifts. I love that. So what happens at the end of our semesters all the time? I give you gifts. Well, that's because I think everybody would appreciate that. Now, I absolutely know that everybody doesn't. I know some people are like, oh, another junk piece thing, you know, just. But it is a way of expressing my perspective. Each of us have ways of expressing our perspective. And we need to understand that that perspective is actually a piece of God. Express God's order, goodness. Express God's joy. Express God's loyalty. Express God's effectiveness, all of those. Let's encourage one another in that. Obviously, we could go for weeks on end talking through this. I just encourage you to talk with one another on this. I think we'll do a little bit more work on this in the small groups for the next weeks to come. So, Father, thank you for giving us the gifts that you've given us, our spiritual gifts and our perspectives. Thank you that you give them for us in community, for community, so that we might grow and expand your family. Father, I pray that we would be excited about what you've given us, that we would be grateful and desiring to mature in those things so that we can be truth tellers about who you are. Thank you that you give us that huge privilege of telling the world who you are by the perspectives we have, by the gifts we've been given. May we celebrate one another this week in all that you've done for us and in all the gifts that you've given us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you.